topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you, never let me go. And lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." We're going to look today at the essence of cleansing and deliverance. So the overview of the broadcast presents a detailed discussion of the essence of cleansing and deliverance. We will look at the requirement to deal with sin and to rehearse the covenant. We will then look at fasting and examine cleansing in depth. We'll talk about getting help and that demons are the spirits of dead unbelievers. This is the first of an expected 3 broadcasts on this topic. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, and I served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the Church, and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of a childhood, an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. For more information, in particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu. It lists articles in a logical sequence relative to their typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's one word, Relationship with Creator Radio, and then .com. Look at the top menu of the show and the drop-down podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. I'm introducing, starting tomorrow, a weekly teaching Zoom call every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA time, 3:30 p.m. UK time, 5:30 p.m. South African time. It'll be on Zoom, and if you go to zoom.us, the code is 703-237-1115. That's 703-237-1115, and the passcode is 123484. I look forward to seeing you there. We will discuss further subjects on those broadcasts. Right, so we're going to look at the essence of cleansing and deliverance. By way of introduction, what follows is a series of measures that you can take in recognition of the harsh reality that virtually every human being on earth is in gross error and grossly corrupted and contaminated by the evil in this world, and that in order to draw closer to Father in heaven, we need to take extreme measures to move ourselves out of our current condition to a position where we can be truly close to Him and bring Him joy every day. All the steps and the measures that follow are steps and measures that I've personally actively applied in my life over nearly 29 years, and which I testify do work. Folks, there's a fair amount of talk about deliverance, and generally that means going to an anointed minister to pray for you. It's on your part a fairly passive exercise. What I'm going to share with you now is a much more fundamental process that you can apply on your own wherever you are, pretty much unaided. Good to have somebody to pray to cover your back, but you can go a long way just taking the steps that I'm going to set out today and in the next two or three broadcasts. So I encourage you to go along with me on this. So first of all, in order to get free, you need to deal with all sin. In this context, note that a non-negotiable requirement for successfully serving the Almighty is to deal with all sin in your life and energetically work to come to a point of living a life that is free of sin. That is the only way you can serve the Almighty and walk in victory. The other option is to continue with your sin at such a level that the forces of darkness regard you as an ally and prosper you to let you think that you're going in the right direction. Problem is, then, when that happens, problem then is what happens when you stand before the throne of the Almighty Creator on the day of your death, the day of your judgment. Note that if you have just accepted Father for the first time, you should immediately pray, Father, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit to assist me to serve you more effectively. Raise your hands to heaven and expect to receive. You should pray this daily and should sing worship songs that speak of being filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. See the collection of worship songs at some powerful worship songs on the main menu of the website, and see also the detailed notes at recommended worship songs also on the website towards the bottom. Folks, not many people are talking about dealing with sin. Not many people are saying that it's possible to get free of sin, and I speak about this quite regularly. But if you're not free of sin, you're a servant of Satan. You're buying the knee to Satan, because he is the father of all sin. So you need to get free of sin. You need to, and I don't have time to discuss it in detail now. I've discussed it several times in the last few months. And I encourage you to go back and get those recordings, or go and look at on the website. There's an article on how to live above sin there. Then secondly, rehearse the covenant, or take communion, you might call it. Once you've believed for the first time, or have now repented of your sin and error and taken a quality decision to serve the Almighty, it is advisable to take note of the covenant between believers and the Almighty, and to rehearse the terms of that covenant. The most powerful covenant available, there are many, is the covenant made by Yahushua. You may know him as Jesus, but you insult him grievously by using that pagan name. And accordingly, I advise you to pray to be grafted into this covenant. At the first possible opportunity, obtain some red grape juice or red wine, preferably not carbonated. Also obtain some bread, preferably unleavened. Some shops sell Jewish matzos, or you can purchase this on Amazon in some countries, or a plain wheat biscuit, or failing that, just ordinary leavened bread. Find yourself a quiet place and pray along the lines of, Father, I come to you in the name of Yahushua, and I recall that on the night that he was betrayed, Yahushua took the bread and broke it and gave it to his followers and said, This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. I ask it as I partake of this bread, that I partake of all that it represents to you, and that you will teach me what this means and what the covenant entails. Take the bread, break it, and eat it soberly and thoughtfully, considering all your sins and wrongdoing. Then take a cup of grape juice or wine and pray, Father, I recall that after supper Yeshua took the cup and gave it to those who followed him and said, This is my blood shed for you and for many for forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you should drink it in remembrance of me. I ask it as I partake of this cup, that I partake of all that it represents to you. And in particular, I ask you to forgive me all my sins. All that I've done that I ought not to have done, and all that I've not done that I ought to have done. I ask it where there's sin that I need to deal with specifically, that you'll bring it to my attention and guide me in dealing with it. I also ask that you will cover me with the blood of the covenant, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and also cover my dwelling and all that I own and have beneficial use of with the blood of the covenant. I ask this in the name of Yahushua. Amen. If as you are praying you become conscious of sin, immediately confess it and repent. Father, I recall that I, and whatever it is that you're thinking of, I now recognize that I've sinned. I deeply repent and I ask you to forgive me. If this is your first experience of this, you could spend several hours repenting. Have a pen and a notebook to hand so that you can make notes. You may find that you need to contact people to repent and ask forgiveness, restore things you've stolen, etc. When you've finished praying, drink the grape juice or wine, dip your finger in the cup, and apply a small amount to the back of your neck, your forehead, your tongue, your eyelids, the lobe of your right ear, the thumb of your right hand, and the big toe of your right foot, praying as you do. Father, I ask you to seal my brain with the blood of the covenant, seal my tongue and all that I say, seal my eyes and all that I see, seal my ears and all that I hear, seal my right hand and all that I write in covenant, and seal my right foot and guide me everywhere I walk. So, folks, you should be doing the first part of this, taking the bread and wine and praying the prayers of the covenant, rehearsing the covenant, as I call it, on a regular basis, certainly at least preferably once a week. You can do it once a day. You can even do it twice a day if you want to, particularly if you're going through something serious. It's so powerful, it's so important to remember that you have this covenant. It's so important to repent of your sin. It's so important to receive forgiveness. And I can't stress this enough. You need to understand that you are authorized and you can legitimately take the bread and wine yourself. You don't need an ordained minister or a priest or a pastor or a whatever to pray the prayers with you. You can pray it yourself. You've got the recording, if you listen to the, if you download the recording of this broadcast after the broadcast a bit later, it's it'll be available on the Relationship with Creator Radio podcast page within about 24 hours. So you really need to do this on a regular basis. And come to a place where you're free of sin. It's entirely doable. It's entirely possible. Once you're free of sin, the demons have no hold on you. They have no legal right to oppress you. They have no legal right to be on you. And then it becomes very easy just to get rid of them. Sorry about that. The next point is fasting. Fasting is an important way of drawing closer to Father Yah. It is also a discipline that many people discount or at least seriously underestimate. Fasting is a way of disciplining your worldly, fleshly self and opening yourself up to hearing more clearly from Father. Regular fasting is not negotiable if you truly desire to draw close to Father. There are a diversity of fasts that are possible. And again, there's no recipe. Remember, each of us are unique, and Father will meet each one of us where he deems most appropriate. So the fact that certain fasts work well for me does not mean that you have to use my model. Allow Father to guide you to the form of fast that he wants you to undertake right now. I strongly recommend that if you've just made a decision to serve Father, you immediately embark on one of the more significant fasts in order to get aligned with him quickly as possible. Likewise, if you've just realized that you're not close to Father and you need to clean up, I'd do the same. Fasts can take various forms. Full day, no food or water, 24 hours. 3 days, no food, water only. 7 days, no food, water only. 21 days, no food, water only. 40 days, no food, water only. Note that under no circumstances should you fast water for more than 24 hours. And even then, exercise caution. Only fast water for 24 hours if you are deeply convicted that Father wants you to do it. You can damage your kidneys, and if you fast water, if you go without water for more than 24 hours, you can do serious damage to your kidneys. So don't even try it, please. In all cases, as an option, you can take bread and grape juice morning and evenings. This is necessary if you need to take medication. When doing this, rehearse the covenant as above and pray your goals for the fast. You can do this even if you do not have to take medication. As an adjunct to this, you can eat soup once or twice a day. You can eat fruit or vegetables only, with no meat, with no desserts or anything. With any of the above durations or any other duration that Father leads you to, I personally consider a 3-day water-only fast as the minimum fast of any value. Some people talk about fasting from sunrise to sunset, and then they have a meal at the end of the day. To me, folks, I'm sorry, that is so inconsequential. I can't think of a better word. If you're only prepared to fast from sunrise to sunset, and then have a big meal, I believe there are people who do it regularly, and well done to them. But why not just go for a full day, 24 hours, as a minimum? To me, 3 days is a minimum. I've only do a 1-day fast on the Day of Atonement because that's prescribed. Apart from that, I've done dozens of 3-day water-only fasts over the last 20 years. And I really encourage you to do that. So 3 days with a small amount of bread and grape juice morning and evening to rehearse the covenant is relatively easy for most people. Beyond that, 7 days and more becomes challenging and can affect your health. Only undertake such a fast when you're absolutely certain Father is leading you to do this. There are some that say it is not possible to enter into full-time power ministry where one performs miracles and is deeply led by the Spirit of the Almighty without undergoing at least one 40-day water-only fast. I have never done such a fast, and I do not have such a ministry. Fact is that if one embarks on a 40-day water-only fast, one is likely to spend the last 2 to 4 weeks in bed unless you're very strong and very anointed. I've found that a series of 7 to 9 3-day fasts at weekly to 10-day intervals is highly beneficial, and every time I've undertaken such a program of fasts, I've received considerable new understanding and revelation and drawn significantly closer to Father. Such a program is easy to follow. It has little impact on one's health and allows one to keep working full days while on the program. I generally have an early supper on Thursday evening and fast through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, breaking the fast with a late supper on Sunday night. I repeat this regime at weekly intervals for 7 to 9 weeks with minor adjustments. For example, you might as a minimum fast for 3 days over Halloween. See Satanic Feasts Halloween on the website, the most evil day of the year, and Satan's High Feast. Also fast for 3 days over Christmas. See The Evil of Christmas on the website. Satan's most effective counterfeit holy day, that's Christmas. And you might do the same over Easter. See Satanic Feasts Easter, also on the website. Both of these are pagan, that's Christmas and Easter, that is Satanic Feasts, which should not be observed in any shape or form by a truly committed believer. A 3-day fast over New Year is also appropriate. The stronger regime is 3-day water-only fasts at 7-day intervals commencing the 30th of October and ending the 1st of January. So you address Halloween, Christmas, and New Year. There's more information on fasting on the website. Go to the Anointed Life page, Child page, Anointed Life Part 1, Child page, Fasting. In the absence of clear guidance, and assuming that you've just taken a solid decision to draw close to Father, I advise you to embark on 7 3-day water-only fasts with limited amounts of bread and grape juice morning and evenings, coupled to rehearsing the covenant as set out above, for 7 weeks starting immediately. Pray also for the objective of the fast when you take the cup. Note that 1/2 to 1 slice of bread should be the minimum before you take medication. So if you're taking medication 3 times a day, you need to take the bread and wine 3 times a day and have 1/2 slice to 1 slice of bread so that you're not taking medication on an empty stomach. You'll damage your stomach that way. And that also gives you a little bit of sustenance. Be wise in what you do with all of these things. Don't just blunder into things. So I hope I've given you a bit to think about with regard to fasting. I started really progressing with Father when I started fasting for the first time. I started to get revelation. I started, all sorts of things came clear at that time. And I've done quite a few 7 to 10 3-day fasts at weekly intervals since then. I think it's a total of about 7 or 8 now. And if you haven't done at least one program of 7 3-day fasts at weekly intervals, I really, really, really encourage you to do that as top priority. It will move you forward significantly. As an alternative, a 7-day water-only fast, which is a little bit more arduous from a health point of view, but most fit people should cope with it quite adequately. Or if you're really, really going for it, go for a 21-day either water-only fast or so-called Daniel fast, where you have soup morning and evenings, or you might have vegetables or something like that, fruit and vegetables. But you can do 21 days water only. Or go the whole hog. If you are really, really out there and committed, go for 40 days. You could do it with soup. But the real solid power fast is 40 days with water only. But don't do that if you're in ill health or what have you. You need to have a fairly strong anointing. You need to be fairly strong with Father before you tackle that. But if you want to be healing the sick and raising the dead, that's probably what you're going to have to do. Not absolutely guaranteed essential. I've been told that it is essential. But if you look at the lives of a number of the people that I spoke about on the website a few months ago, anointed believers, it's not that they got to that place without doing the 40-day fast. So just take it a step at a time. Right, moving on to cleansing, which is the core of this message. It's a harsh reality that the day a person chooses to serve the Almighty Creator, they are grossly contaminated by the satanic and demonic realm in which we operate by default. We're contaminated by false beliefs, wrong life practices, spiritual defilement, and above all, demons. I want to talk about symbolism and metaphor. In considering what follows, it is important to be aware that the spirit realm is highly influenced by symbolism and metaphor. And therefore, some of the procedures outlined below do not make sense from a physical world perspective, but they do work effectively in dealing with the satanic and demonic realm. Be aware that there are all sorts of demonic signs and marks in the spiritual realm that are not visible to us in the spiritual, in the physical realm, but which are seen by demons and satanic messengers and some senior Satan servants. And some servants of Yah who have the gift of discerning of spirits. So in a large measure, the physical rites recommended as the following are directed at removing these marks and removing demons and the legal rights for demons to attach themselves. Cleansing is in large measure about removing the legal rights for demons to attach to you and influence you and removing blockages to you hearing Father clearly. So what I'm basically setting out to you in the next few minutes is that if you do these symbolic rites, these symbolic practices, you're cleansing yourself spiritually of defilement. If concurrently with that you are looking at your life, dealing with sin, repenting of sin, the demons no longer have a legal right to be on you. And even if they are on you, they can't influence you. So you can easily take authority of them and get rid of them. And the converse of that is that if you don't do these things, the demons will come back. I once was in a very anointed church where they were ministering deliverance. And I saw in the spirit that the demons were just going down to the road outside the church and getting on to other people. And they were laughing. And there was these dramatic deliverances in the church. But the demons were not being disposed of. In terms of getting help with this, in years past, there were anointed ministers who could assist with the casting out of demons. The vast majority of these people have been trapped by false doctrines around Jesus, the Bible, etc., and either neutralized totally, or they're in so much error that it is dangerous to associate with them because they may unintentionally leave you with stronger demons than you started with. Accordingly, you're probably going to have to undertake what is presented here largely on your own, with the caveat that you should ideally find someone who's reasonably strong to cover your back if you can. To start, pray, Father, if there's anyone who I can make contact with who can help me to get rid of these demons, please lead me to them. In this case, it is particularly important that you pray this in your heart and be alert to meet such a person. if they are brought into your life. Do not pray this out loud and do not discuss it with anyone. The satanic realm will be quick to provide you with a counterfeit to trap you further. It may take some time before you come into contact with a person who's brought as an answer to your prayer, if there is indeed a suitable person available. If you're unable to make contact with an experienced servant to help you, and you do not have anyone to cover your back, pray, Father, I intend to get rid of the demons that are in my home, on my body as applicable, and I have no one to cover my back. I ask you to cover my back. So you can do this on your own. You can contact me. I'll pray with you. But basically, you don't need any help. You can do it yourself. Note that if you are a single woman, you can turn to Father as your husband and ask him to cover your back. So pray, Father, I ask you to be my husband and to cover me, protect me, and help and provide for me. This can be a lifetime prayer. You'll still have to work to earn your living, but Father will make it easier for you. It is vital to understand that if or once you are free of sin, then demons cannot touch you. You can be carrying a pack of demons, but they cannot get touch you, and it is easy to get rid of them. Conversely, if you are not free of sin, then getting rid of demons is futile. They will come back at the first opportunity. So there's been a I would almost call it a tragedy in the charismatic Christian world in the last while, some decades, going back some decades, where Christian ministers praying in the name of Jesus, which is an error, referring to the Word of God as the Bible, which is an error, have prayed for people, set them free, and the demons have just come back a few days later. So you need to be aware of these things. As I've taught in several broadcasts before this, demons are the spirits of dead unbelievers. There's all sorts of wrong thinking and strange thinking about demons. Demons are the spirits of human beings who died without believing in the Almighty Creator. On death, they're taken to the lake of fire and brimstone and told this will be their destination in the event that Satan loses the contest. And they are then taken to heaven and shown where they would have ended up if they had believed. They're also taken for an initial induction course in which the rules of engagement are explained and any initial assignments given to them, including mustering them into a particular satanic principality which provides their overall chain of command. In particular, it is explained to them that if they are obedient and diligent in their work as demons, they may progress through the hierarchy. Conversely, if they step out of line, they will be subject to harsh discipline and torture. They then return to their corpse and, depending on circumstances, may remain with their mortal remains as they decay in a remote location at the bottom of the sea, on the body of a predator, or collected, or they may be collected by a witch or Satanist or other Satan servant in a hospital, funeral parlor, crematorium, and such like. In the latter cases, the Satan servant who collects them will assign them to a new host, such as to a believer under anesthetic in a hospital, and with this may come an assignment to specific duties, such as pride, lust, and so forth. So all that's happening is that a human being that's died is being stuck on you. They connect to your brain, and they give you messages and influence your behavior. All human beings who have not undergone a rigorous process of cleansing are carrying demons. There are over 100 billion demons on earth. That is over 100 billion human beings who have died without knowing the Almighty Creator, and more are being added every second. That gives us around 14 demons to every human being. However, the number of demons on human beings in communities where there is no service to the Almighty is relatively fewer than occurs where there is service to the Almighty. The majority of believers and the children of believers generally carry a much greater number of demons than unbelievers in communities where there is little likelihood of exposure to the Almighty. The primary goal of demons is to prevent people believing in the Almighty. so that they also end up as ancestor spirits or demons. And when they do believe, to keep them in such bondage to sin that they're ineffective in serving the Almighty. Folks, this is so important to understand. The satanic and demonic realm have one fundamental goal, and that is by the end of 3,000 of the 7,000 years of mankind on earth, so around about May 3003, 982-81 years from now, that there should not be a single human being who is in right standing with Father, who has the authority to pray for Yeshua to return. If there is nobody in right standing, then Yeshua cannot return, and Satan wins the contest. And at that point, Father withdraws from the earth, together with any sort of weak and flimsy believers that there may still be, the so-called rapture, and Satan reigns on earth forever. Much of this demonic activity relates to leading believers into the multiplicity of lies that pervade the Christian church, the Muslim community, and the Jewish community. Fundamentally, if there's no human being on earth around May 3003 who is free of sin and effectively serving the Almighty, then Satan wins the contest. See the webpage Essence of the Rules of the Engagement and Contest. Father Yah withdraws from earth, leaving Satan to rule. In reality, it's a pyrrhic victory, because once Yah withdraws, all plant and animal life and all human life will immediately die, and Satan will be left to rule a desolate planet with billions of demons and no transport. A smaller number of demons transported by satanic messengers or satanic angels. These messengers will primarily transport the leaders, the masterminds of the satanic kingdom. Expect ongoing terrible battles that exceed the worst excesses of anything seen on television or the movies in terms of so-called science fiction. Thus, paradoxically, the more intensely a person is seeking to serve Yah, the greater the number of demons that will be assigned to them, unless they clean up their act to a point where there is no longer a legal right for demons to attach to them, and the demons are forced to leave through appropriate prayer. Folks, please really think about this. I'm not being rude to you when I tell you that you've got demons. I can say that with a fairly high level of confidence, because if you have not got to a place where you're free of sin, where you've not gone through the various cleansing processes that I'm going to describe over the next few weeks, you will have demons. Just about everybody on the planet's got demons. It's really so easy to pick them up. Then people who've been strongly serving Satan will also have large numbers of demons, in that case largely by invitation. Senior Satan servants invite demons to come and dwell in them. That is demon possession, as opposed to dwelling on them, which is demon oppression, which is what happens to believers. Such indwelling demons counterfeit the indwelling of the set-apart spirit, or the Holy Spirit, of the Almighty Creator in believers, and they give such people great powers. If you are such a person and have chosen to serve the Almighty Creator, you will need to take the measures given here with regard to cleansing to extreme lengths. So, talking about cleansing, at this point my focus is on the vast majority of people who've either been unbelievers in mainstream society or who have been nominal believers but doing little of substance. But in both cases, I advocate the same cleansing, with the exception that the new believer has 7 days of grace in which to undertake these measures at an extreme level. Folks, that's really important. There's 7 days of grace when you first come to belief. Now, you may think you've come to belief in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, but there is a fair possibility that you actually came to belief in your early teens if you were confirmed in a church or went through a similar process. If you're Jewish, if you had a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, something like that, you may well have come to belief at that point. It may have been a bit weak, it may have been a bit insipid, And then you come through an experience like this and you suddenly make a strong commitment. You're not going to have the 7 days of grace then, but you can get in and get stuck in. As in all that is presented here, this is a guide only. Do what you find to do, what Father leads you to do. Some of what follows may strike the average Western citizen as strange and even unacceptable. If that is the case for you, I suggest you park it and move on. However, if you've got a revelation of the level of sin, of the desperate fate that awaits you if you do not clean up your act, and the huge reward that awaits you if you do clean up your act, then I encourage you to go for it full out. I'm not advocating anything that I've not done myself. To the extent that some of what is presented here is extreme and will attract adverse comment, you may want to back off some of the components. That is up to you. The more you're willing to acknowledge your belief and trust in the Almighty Creator in public, the greater your standing with Him. That said, pretty much all that is described here can be done in private and not shared with many other people, except those who live in the same dwelling. But that said, if you're a man and you shave your head, everybody's going to know, although shaven heads these days are not so unusual as they were sort of 10, 20 years ago. But then if you're going to grow it back on, it looks a little bit strange for a few weeks. So I've done all of this. The first time that I did it, I shaved, physically shaved with shaving cream and a razor. My entire body, including my head, only not my eyebrows. Father told me to leave the eyebrows. And I then anointed my full body with the blood of the covenant, the grape juice. I then rubbed myself all over with that. Did the same with the olive oil for the Spirit of the Almighty. I then immersed in a swimming pool with three other men. Three times, dramatic experiences, Yeshua walking down the steps of the swimming pool with his arms outstretched towards us when we emerged immersed for the third time. So in the extreme case, where you desire to really clean up your act and have made a really solid commitment to Father, you could do the following. Commence a seven-day water-only fast. Pray morning and evening. Father, I ask you to help me during this fast. Help me to hear you more clearly. Show me all that you want me to get rid of in my life. Show me all sin that you want me to deal with. Show me all change that you want me to make. Help me to draw much closer to you during this fast. Please fill me with your Spirit day by day and give me utterance in prayer such that your will is done in my life. Shave your entire body, except your eyebrows if you're a man, and except your eyebrows and head if you're a woman. If you're a woman, never shave your head. Pray as you shave. Father, I ask you that as I shave myself, you will cut off all the defilement, all satanic and demonic assignments and connections, and any other satanic ties that exist. Pass the razor over every part of your body, including the soles of your feet and the palms of your hands. If you're not prepared to physically shave, you can pass a razor over every part of your body without cutting hair and pray the same prayer. It'll be less effective, but it is better than doing nothing. And you should do this over your sexual organs, particularly if you've been promiscuous, if you've had casual sex. Obviously limitations on what you can physically shave, but you can pass the razor over your sexual organs. So that's all for today. I'm going to wrap up now. I will continue with this teaching, Yah willing, next Friday. So I'd like to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Creator today? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is available to every human being. I can't stress this enough. There's so much wrong thinking about chosen people, etc. And yes, they may have been chosen 2,000 years ago, but they messed up. They let the baton slip. And now it's an open season for any human being on the planet. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter whether you're short or tall, whether you're fat or thin. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're well-educated or badly educated. It doesn't matter if you're black or white or yellow. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your tribe. All that matters is that you choose to have a relationship with the Almighty Creator. He will meet you wherever you are at this point. Go to Him and ask Him to help you. And come to me and I'll help you. So wrapping up on the main menu web pages, the compendium of important articles, the video, Why Seek Relationship, the article, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, the Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, the Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, the Essence of My Message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org, that's endtimeissueministries, one word, to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. As I said earlier, I've started weekly teachings Zoom calls every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time, USA time, 3:30 UK time, that's 3:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. South African time, all on Zoom. The link is 703-237-1115, passcode 123484. That's 703-237-1115. Passcode 123484. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is particularly flexible and particularly powerful. There are over 1,000 web pages and several thousand articles. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. As I've said, it's open to you, whoever you are, not the person on your left or the person on your right, not the person in front of you, the person behind you. Right now, you, the person that I'm talking to, it is open to you to become a friend of the Almighty. It is open to you to start today seeking a deep relationship with him. He will meet you where you are. Email me. I'll help you. We can connect on Zoom. We can connect by email, whatever works for you. And I will coach you and help you to grow with him. My passion, my desire, the reason I live is to help people to reach a deep personal relationship with him and to start revivals around the world that will radically change things. If you're upset by what's going on in the world, this is the way to deal with it. Get a strong personal relationship with Father, get anointed and powerful, and you can change things. Thanks so much. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me, I know.